The following share has been delivered by Harav Yosef Weiner Shlita of Muncie, New York, and has been brought to you by the Beit Havad Halacha Center.
The center can be reached for dispute resolution and many other halachic services at 888-485-VAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
This is the makara, the famous. Many chayfim matzahs are big shayla. What it means? Different shatim and rishayim. They grab matzahs. Where they grab matzahs? When? Where? So one shot is that the kids grab the matzahs during the seder. They should be excited enough to stay up. And I remember seeing a maisa once where it was very late at night, and they finally got the bench, and they forgot that because. And the good thing they only remembered is the kid woke up all of a sudden and said, "Hey, where's my prize?" Then they said, "Oh, wait, you're right. Where's the atikana?" So that's a mila. I don't think that was the original reason. Not to wake up the parents, to wake up the kids. The kids to stay up. You see, the kids are very attentive to this. There are those, as I mentioned the other night, Rabbi Yankiv, but before Rabbi Yankiv, who were against the minig for a number of reasons. They didn't say, they're not against the Gemara. They had a different shot in the Gemara. They say Rabbi Chaim didn't hold of it, but he held that there's a din of shmira on a Korban Pesach. I mean, the kind of supposed to represent the zechus of the Korban. So how can you let a kid just walk away with this? There's no shmira. The minor's not a shmira, and we don't know where in the world he put it. So he said it's a chasaron of shmira, and you should not do it. That was his halachic reason. And then Rabbi Yankiv, and before him, others had the same taina. Why should you have this exercise every year to teach the kids how to be conniving and how to steal and things like that? Lamaisa, so were those who complained about it, who didn't like it, didn't say, and they said that wasn't shot in the Gemara. Lamaisa, I think most houses have the minig. I think if I took a poll, we have a lot of people here, I think it would be without exception in this room. And the kids do look forward to it, and that is a shot in the Gemara, and that's why we do it. You shouldn't let it get out of hand. There was one year that the stakes were getting too high, and I told them in a nice way, I don't negotiate with terrorists. I told them that there is a din that if you don't get it back, you can take out any matzah used for Afrikaner. Just know that the din exists. Try not to use it. But you didn't know that. You wish you knew that. Of course, you'll not last year, right? So you should negotiate with them. They're cute little things, and you should negotiate with them. But if it gets out of hand, they're just not moving. You can pull out. I didn't make it up. That's the only thing. It'd be hard to. It's in print, and it's something that sometimes they can't find it. I'm sure you've all had that. I had one year. They hid it so well. Absolutely no idea. My kids are younger. That happened. Where is it? We thought we put it over here. Can't figure out. There it is. So Mendel the mouse probably dragged it somewhere. But if you can't find it, so obviously you can take something else. Do warn them ahead of time, by the way. This can happen also. Warn them, you can hide it wherever you want. Not in the bathroom and not under the bed. They put it not in the chumash closet, not under the bed. You don't put food under a bed. And that could trace everything up. And Afi Kabbalah, and not in the bathroom. So you got to give them some guidelines. And it might be a good idea that they should tell one older sibling where it is, because otherwise you're not going to still chafil to have the vision not be coming. Yeah.
The time
You don't want to talk about we're driving to Toys R Us and we're doing this and go to Rachel B'Tzakatana. You also don't want to go into a heavy description on something that's a cliche on the list, like a walkie-talkie or something like that. You can say, by the way, the Hetzer might be that for Dvar Mitzvah you could do it. Maybe you could say this is Dvar Mitzvah. I'm just thinking because I'm aware of you, what you're asking is an issue, and
that's
the same thing. That they want watermelon, you could buy it to talk about buying it for them. To talk about walking talking, unless you want to argue with the Dvar Mitzvah, it's not such a great argument. Dvar Mitzvah, you got to talk about deep horizon. Tell them this is the budget, and then you talk about money also. Okay. Tell them to get you something real nice. And get them, they're selling now Gedolim pictures if you go to this farm store. They'll really enjoy that. So you should definitely tone it down. If it was a Hetzer, the Hetzer would be a Dvar Mitzvah. Next thing, next trick to keep them up. Rabbi Kiva, he would give out, interesting, this brought down the Machabra. I don't know why we don't do this today. I understand why we don't give out Kleyas Ragazim, because we'd probably get them back. Kleyas Ragazim is like walnuts and parched grain. You have to keep in mind, until like 100 years ago, there was no nash. You ask your grandparents, like in Europe, rock candy maybe, which is just straight sugar, crystallized. Before that, there really wasn't much of anything. So a treat was some nuts, some walnuts. You gave that out to the kids, and they would hock around with it and munch on it, and that kept them up. Today, the equivalent would be, I don't know why nobody does it. I would do this myself. I did it 1 year, and everybody thought it was odd. I said, it's a machaber. You give out chocolate. What? Kadeshis, yeah, they asked. I showed them all the machaber, but I don't know why it's not a disease. We have now more nash than ever before. You do it. Okay. So perish a machaber, don't give them walnuts, because they're not going to have to do with it. But you give them chocolate, that's going to go over very well. And a little caffeine will stay up, they'll be bouncing around. So, marshmallows, okay. Yeah, if you get the kosher type, yeah. I say that because 30 years ago they had a lot of marshmallows kosher for Passover, and the only small problem was they weren't kosher, but maybe they were kosher for Passover. The gelatin left a lot to be desired. But there's plenty of stuff you can give out kosher for Passover. Unless you're from a family who's not buying the stuff, they don't miss what? Happens to be there's no din drabanan or achila before kiddush for minors. One of the few things that a lot eat, but I'm not talking about for kiddush. What about after kiddush? Yeah, it's gonna be a long haggadah. They want them to stay up. They keep munching on. They're too much sugar. They're not going to be out of their kalim, but within reason. It's a very jelly bean. Give out whatever they have. If you buy the stuff already, if you're eating it anyway for chalamai, you can eat it now. So maybe we have to bring this back. What's interesting is the last thing that keeps kids up, perhaps the most powerful, guy in the shul told me, his seder goes to 5 a.m., which is fascinating. That's good. A friend of mine asked, why is it shul night, which is a minig, everybody, the Gantzai stays up. And the seder, which is the din of the Gemara, he's supposed to stay up. We don't stay up. The answer is, if you're tired, fall asleep, you fall asleep. Why we don't pull an all-nighter like we do shul is a little bit of a tzarachim. Lamaisa, I asked him if the kids were awake. He said the kids kept me awake. I said, what kept them going? He said, he told me the secret, which I realized afterwards, it's not quite right. He said, there's like an amazing peer pressure. They all get back to school and everybody's trying to outdo how late did you stay up in the Seder. It's like a big thing in Yeshiva. So he said, his kids were wide awake and they won. They came back after Pesach and they told him 5 a.m. nobody beat them. Hi, Michel Dover. We're in the second column. Toward the bottom of the page, about six lines from the bottom. Taim Mishal Dover. First line is Yishnu V'Yishalo. Taim Mishal Dover. Tisharinu Shateri Hekfita Al Sheila Sabanan V'Layla Azeh Disiv Kam B'Pamim Ki Yishal Sabincha. The Torah has a kapeta that this is not just a night where we do mitzvahs. This is the night where we give over the Messiah more than any other night. And the Pasuk says, it has to be question, answer, and the son should be asking the question if there are children there. Beautiful line. It's a beautiful expression. You can read Amuna in textbooks, but it doesn't do the trick. You have to see Amuna, you have to talk about it, it has to be in a live conversation. It's very hard to teach. That's why we should continue writing such books, in English especially, potentially by Tshuva, about the talk of Amuna. At the end of the day, it's a very hard thing to get across in print. If you don't witness it, it's very hard to explain. I've had this conversation. I do kiruv. I try to do my 10%, like the Rosh said. And at the end of the day, the hardest thing to teach, because you explain it, and then they say, well, you're really asking me to take a leap of faith. That's the whole conversation. I said, yeah, but you got to feel it. But how do you? It's hard to transmit a feeling. If you see it by the people you trust most, your parents, then you'll have a Messiah that goes Mido Vadar. That paragraph is what Pesach is all about, basically. And without that, you can hear it from somebody else, and you have to have a leap of faith that you trust that person. Okay, or maybe the Talmud would work, but still not as natural as a parent. And if you have it from your parents, you know, your father wasn't shikur, and your grandfather wasn't shikur, and these are credible people, and you live through this, then you acquire that bitachon emuna. Without that, it's very, very difficult. And it's the most challenging thing for somebody coming from the outside, is that you have to learn it in a philosophical way, in a scholastic way, and there's a way to do that, and you can get there with that, but it's a lot harder. the old shayla of amuna pshuta versus the intellectual amuna. You can use both, but it's amuna pshuta certainly for Rav Yidden, Rav Zeret was what carried the day. Matter of fact, many Rishayna, all the Acharonim after the Spanish Inquisition, wrote. I mean, you know, this is obviously a hot topic, but wrote in hindsight of what happened or didn't happen in the Spanish Inquisition. Why is it that we had many pogroms, Gzeres Tachvatat, in Europe, in Eastern Europe, and we don't find many cases at all of Mishumadim? Not Pseudo Mishumadim, not Moranim, nothing. And as we all know, the Spanish Inquisition, again, I'm not saying we would have done better, but the real heroes are the ones who left or got killed for their Amuna. The Moranos was like better than nothing if he's doing mitzvahs on the ground, but those weren't, I say that because I don't like the way the modern day novels are portraying. They portray the Moranos in a romantic type of way, that was the true hero. You're a hero because you're trying to do the right thing under very trying circumstances. The real hero is the ones who left. And they discuss why that happened. Why is it that there were so many Mishabonim and there were so many people who couldn't make that right choice? And what they said was is that there was a problem with the age of philosophy in Spain. Spain was part of what the Escola was later, Spain in that era. And there were many, many people who thought they understood Judaism on a very philosophical level. And that's great. It's a part of learning. It's a part of Vedas Hashem. When push comes to shove, literally when the sword comes close, when the fire comes close, it doesn't work as well. It's historical. You could say the different shots of it, historically, the facts are true. In Eastern Europe, they did better. And there's no reason why in Eastern Europe, they drank more kosher milk than Spain. So these early Achranim said that the reason is that their Amuna was philosophical in nature and it didn't stand up to death. And the Amuna of Shuta did. Which is, a lot more to talk about that, but that's what he's saying over here. Face to face, question answer with a parent is where you get the Amunah Tahirah. Fichach Asu calls, next page. Hapulos Shatinagis Yaharim, we do all the things to keep them awake. Lashanim, the eighth, Aseder. Vekach Chayvalen Alasas. And this is our chiyuv to do, especially when it comes to the younger generation, to keep them engaged and to keep them involved. Inyan Chativat Masapir Shrashi Rashpam Sharifa Mahir. They said it doesn't mean steal it, it means gobble it down. That'll certainly raise questions. But Magdina Sakari, you pick up the car. Ramam, Perizan, Kosal, Chesu, Master Zemi, Azeh, that's closer to our stealing the Afikaimen. As he says in the bracket, Zoa, Mini, Shetanoka, Chesu, and Afikaimen, Mahmoud, Hecker, and that's why they do it. Again, some like it, some don't like it for the various reasons we spoke about last night, like a Shmira, possibly, and maybe the needs of stealing. So when you look the other way, make sure they understand that normally stealing is usher, and this is just to keep the interest. And make sure, as I mentioned last night, they don't put it under the bed, bring it into the bathroom, and make sure they remember where it is. And then you'll hopefully satisfy both sides of the coin.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.